Well, good morning. Thank you, Ken, for your kind words and your encouragement and support and your friendship over the years. It's really, really been a blessing, and I'm really appreciative of that. And thank you for that. And thank you as well for this opportunity and this privilege to be able to speak to your congregation here this morning. And what a joy it is to be here and to get to be here for both services. I mean, most of you probably weren't here before, but I just got to sit through two great worship times. And I just want to say to your worship team, God bless you and thank you for leading us so well into the presence of God. What a truly amazing time it was. And thank you to each one of you for using your gifts that God has given you to serve the body in that way. And so may God continue to bless all of you as you serve in that way. So Ken mentioned that Angie and I have this ministry called Arise Now. We do a variety of things, and he said what they were, so I'm not going to repeat that. Just to say that if you want to connect in and check out any more about that, you can go to our website, arisenow.ca, and there will be links there to all our social media platforms and the different things that we do, and you can see if any of that is something you'd like to connect in with. And we also, as he said, have become part of the E3 Canada family and brought Arise Now under that banner. And if you would be interested in partnering with us, we would be delighted. And we're looking for people to walk with us to support us so that we can carry on and do what God has called us to do. Ken highlighted the most recent book that I've written, and I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes, but I wanted to just highlight something else, and that is the first books that I wrote. So if we backtrack about 10 years ago, my first book that came out was called Lessons Learned on the Seat of My Bus. And that started a series of books called Lessons Learned on the Seat of My Bus, the Seat of My Bike, and the Seat of My Truck. And so I've spent a lot of time sitting on the truck, the bike, and the bus. And from those places, I've learned lessons that I like to share, practical everyday stories. I like to think of them as modern day parables, that we can learn things from everyday stories, just like what Jesus told. The kingdom of God is like a man who went out to sow seed in his field. And maybe if he was here today speaking in parables, Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is like a man who went out to drive his bus. And so these stories just are everyday stories from life that we can learn from. And it really, there's a connection to this church going back a number of years ago that kind of got me into this journey. And so Roger Bowman here, who many of you know, I'm sure, he, about 13, 14 years ago, Roger and I were working together at Grand River Transit as bus drivers. Roger was leading the men's ministry here, said, hey, we're having a men's breakfast. Would you like to come and talk to our men about your bike team and your faith? And I thought, oh, that's kind of an interesting subject. So I said, sure. And so the days that followed, I started thinking about what I might say. And the Holy Spirit dropped this idea into my heart of, well, you could talk about things you've learned on the seat of your bike. And so that kind of, I gave that talk here. It was received well. That led to coming back a year or so later and doing things I've learned on the seat of my bus. And so out of those talks then became the books. And so the first book, as I said, came out 10 years ago in April. And so Angie, my wife, who is wonderful in many ways and has blessed me in many ways, but in terms of the books, she uses her gifts and skill that she has in design and creativity to format and edit and design and publish them through Amazon. So she had this idea that celebrating the 10th anniversary, let's put those three lessons learned books into one. And so that's what we have here. We have the Lessons Learned trilogy. And so some of you, we were here a few years ago and some of you bought the individual books. And if you didn't, now you can just get them all in one package. And so we have some of those in the back that you can check out if you're interested. This is my other book. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. But before I do, I want to give these two books away. So I'm looking for someone who hasn't read a book in a long time. Okay? And if you haven't read a book in a long time and you'd like to start, if you're the first two people up here, you'll get to have one of these books. So who would like to? Okay. You're first. Which one do you want? Take that one and you get this one. All right. Well, bless you. The reason I wanted to highlight that is because often I get the feedback from people is that that was an easy book to read. In fact, I was just this past Monday, I was at a small group discussion at a church that we regularly speak at, and a number of them had bought my book, and they were discussing it in a small group, and I'm like, oh, I want to come and be a part of that for one night. And one of the young ladies there said to me, I don't normally read books, and I find it hard to read, but I can read this book. And so if you are that kind of person, I want to encourage you to step out and dare to read the book, the books that I've written, and I trust that God will speak to your heart and bless you as you do that. But before I speak about my book and the book that I've written, I want to share with you my passion about a book that God has written, and that's this book, the Bible. You know, your theme here for the month of March is walking in wisdom. And each one of us, the level of wisdom that we walk in is going to be determined by how much we read and spend time in this book. And you know, in this house, you are blessed with incredible teaching. You know, Pastor Ken's been doing it a long time, 52 years. You get to hear him here, you get to hear him on the radio. Pastor David's an excellent teacher. You are blessed with excellent teaching of this book. But I want to tell you that apart from that, each one of us needs to have our own relationship, personal relationship with this book. And spend time in it regularly. And I want to suggest to you that we often say, well, how much time are you spending in the Word? But I want to change that just slightly and say, it's not how much time you spend in the Word, but it's how much time the Word spends in you. Yes. And so the great passion of my life as it relates to this book is something called memorizing. Getting the Word of God into your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word, or thy word, I often say it more in the King James language, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A few verses later in same chapter in verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we get the word of God into us. It keeps us from sinning. It lights up our path. And the beauty of memorizing scripture is then you take it with you wherever you go, and you can meditate on it, and God can speak to you and minister to you wherever you are. And I like to say that when we memorize the Word of God, when we get it into us, it will supercharge your relationship with Jesus unlike anything else. So if you're here today and you're feeling a little dry, a little distant from God, I invite you into this journey of getting God's word into your heart. It will change your life. My journey in memorizing began at a very young age. My first memory of it is at grade 4. I grew up at East Orr, going to East Orr Mennonite Church by Tavistock. And I remember in grade 4, my Sunday school teacher was one of my older cousins. And he said, one Sunday he said, there's this verse, if you memorize it, next Sunday when you come back and can recite it, you're going to get a mojo. And I was like, wow. I mean, I don't even remember exactly what a mojo was. It was just some sort of a little chewy candy, I think. But it had calling power, you know, to motivate me and to get me to memorize. I remember sitting in the service because we had church service first, Sunday school after. I remember sitting in the service and not paying attention to what the pastor was saying, but I had my Bible open and I was like, I'm going to memorize this verse. And I got my mojo. Fast forward a few years into my youth, I participated in the Mennonite Church. We did this thing called Bible quizzing, where we would study passages. Everybody from all the churches would study the same group of chapters or whole books of the Bible, and then we'd compete against each other to see who knew it the best. And I loved this. And through that process, excuse me, I I committed many chapters and books of the Bible to memory. And then into my adult years, carrying on, not always being as intentional, because when you memorize something, you got to keep going over it if you want to keep it fresh so it's just right there. And I just want to say, in these last 15 years, I've increased intentionality in that. Now, I love to give this little pep talk, as I call it, about memorizing Scripture, but often when I do, invariably, I hear someone say, "I can't remember anything. I can't do that." And I just want to say, I don't believe you. So, my saying is this: if you can remember your name, you can memorize Scripture. Okay? And we all remember things that are important to us. So the greater value and importance we place on this word and build a habit, we're going to talk about habits in a minute, of memorizing it, getting it into us, it will change our life. And so I have like hundreds of verses memorized, but there's 30 verses that I have this routine called my daily scripture routine. And it's kind of always changing, and I'm adding some new verses regularly, but right now it's currently at about 30. And these verses I say every day. And if you don't have a daily scripture routine, I want to invite you to consider this habit and building this practice as a habit in your life. Because if you read the same verse or two or three or however many you decide to start with, if you read them over every day, after 2, 3, 4 weeks, it'll be different for all of us, but soon you're not going to have to look at the paper as you're reading it. It's going to be in you. And so if you're interested in knowing what mine is, we have it on our website, arisenow.ca. You can go on there. If you scroll down a bit, there it's I think it's like Paul's Daily Scriptures or some title like that. You can click on it and you can download the free PDF. And it's not that there's anything magical about what I do, but it's just there to help as a resource to get you started, okay? And I'm just going to share a few of the verses that I say every morning. And I do this when I ride my bike to work, okay? You get it in your heart. You get it in you that it's part of who you are. And you can do this when you're walking the dog, when you're vacuuming the house, when you're making supper. You know, it just becomes a part of you, okay? Mine starts like this. Let the words of my mouth, and I'm not going to say the references. If you want to know them, you got to download the PDF. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Help me to be wise in the way I act towards outsiders. Help me to make the most of every opportunity. Let my conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so I may know how to answer everyone. You have made known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand our pleasures forevermore. Whether I turn to the right or to the left, I will hear a voice in my ears behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is fixed, stayed steadfast on you because he trusts in you. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in times of distress. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion, and then I add Canada, with righteousness and justice. He will be the sure foundation for our times, a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. And then I go into a group of verses about the fear of the Lord that I'm going to skip. And then I'm getting close to work, and I get to Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not told you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41, verse 10 is then what I say at the end. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So at that time, I'm rolling into work, and I'm just like, wow, God is with me. He's strengthening me. He's upholding me. And I go into work kind of with a bounce in my step, not because of who I am, but because of who he is, and his word is in me. So I want to encourage you in this. It will supercharge your relationship with Jesus. It will revolutionize your life. And I invite you to build that habit. All right, we're going to talk about my new book, Five Healthy Habits of the Heart. and I'm really excited. This book's been out about 6 months, and I've been speaking the content of it for a number of years, and I've realized that it's really practical and it really connects well with people. But I've been really blessed in the last few months since the book has been out, and people have been reading it and giving me feedback. And just last night, we got a text from a friend whose father was in the hospital this week. He was 87, he's 87 years old, and she gave him her book that she had purchased from us of Five Healthy Habits of the Heart. And we got this testimony. He read my book, and he said this: "This book changed my life." He said that God came and touched me and freed me from years of pain and regret. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. What you can do through a simple book and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's a journey. It's a story of my journey of how these habits have revolutionized my life. And I'm so excited to share it with you and to have this opportunity to speak for a few minutes about it. But as we think about habits, you know, it's interesting in writing this and reflecting about my own habits and the habits that I've had over the years, the new ones, the bad ones that I'm working at changing. And often we all have habits. It's something that affects us all. And we like to think about the good habits, but there are those ones that we all have that we maybe just don't really want to talk about or think about, and we just kind of hope they go away, or maybe they don't affect us that much. But I want to suggest to you that our lives are determined by the habits that we create and build. So what is a habit? A habit is a recurrent, often unconscious, pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. So anything that we do over and over again will become a habit. At first, we may have to think about it and be intentional about it, but eventually it comes to the point where we just do it and we don't even think about it. It's just unconscious response. And so it's interesting to think about that. And I invite you into this reflective journey in your own heart and in your own life as we're pondering habits here this morning. As I began to ponder this, let me just say this other part. I forgot to say this part in the first service. So as we talk about healthy habits of the heart, right? So if you Google that phrase, healthy habits of the heart, the first things that will come up in the Google search will be things about getting enough rest, eating well, making sure you get exercise. And those are all good things. But this book is not directly related to those things, and it's not directly related to this physical heart, that this organ that is pumping blood through all of our bodies right now. When I speak about healthy habits of the heart, I am speaking about heart as being the core of our being, that inner place, the seat of our emotions. It's what Solomon writes about in Proverbs chapter 4, when he, pick it up in verse 20, when he's saying to his son, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, but keep them within your heart." And then he says something interesting. He says, "For they are life to those who find them and health to a person's whole body." So when we speak about walking in wisdom, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, is pleading with his son, "Pay attention to my words. Turn your ear to what I'm saying. Keep them within your heart. It's going to affect you in every way. It's going to affect your health." Then he goes on in verse 23, and he says this, he says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow all the issues of life." Yes. Or some other translations say, everything that you do flows from it. That's why it's so important that we spend these minutes reflecting on our own hearts, so we can guard them and build healthy habits in them. I came across two quotes as I was writing this book that I want to share with you today. The first one, they're both by the author James Clear, who's written a book called Atomic Habits, New York Times bestselling author. And the first quote is this: "Every action that we take is a vote for the person we want to become. Have you ever thought about it that way? That every choice, every action that you make, you and I make each and every day, is an indication of the person we want to become. And so when we're younger, we talk about the person we want to become, right? But we don't really think of how all of those choices are going to affect us 10, 20, 30 years down the road. But what I just shared about the habit that was built in my life as a teenager and younger than that, in terms of loving God's word and loving to memorize it, is now, because that habit was formed early, it has helped me to become who I am today. But often when we get to sort of like I'm in my late 50s, but this could even happen in your 40s, but at some point later in life, we kind of say, well, this is who I've become, and that's just the way it is. We sort of buy into the phrase that we speak of dogs, where we say, you can't teach an old dog a new trick. And I was speaking about this one time at a church, and afterwards the pastor got up and he said, when Paul said, you can't teach an old dog a new trick, my wife leaned over to me and said, yes, you can. And then he said, and then I realized, our dog's not that old, so I think she's talking about me. So I would say, well, that may be true of dogs, but it's not true of humans. But 9 months ago, our daughter moved back home with her dog, and we have a dog that's 10 years old that had some specific habits that weren't great. But somehow, with our daughter and her dog being in the house, guess what? Our old dog has learned some new tricks, some new habits. So that phrase isn't true of dogs, and it's not true of us as people. By the power of God's Spirit working in us, we can change, and we are all still becoming something. No matter what age we are in this house today, it's never too late to become who God has called you to be and to start by making intentional choices that we are going to build new habits and walk in new ways. The second quote by James Clear has really kind of, in some ways, rocked my world as I've began to think about it. It's this: we don't rise to the level of our goals, we fall to the level of our systems. We don't rise to the level of our goals, we fall to the level of our systems. So in this quote explains everything that you need to know about New Year's resolutions and why some are successful and many fail. I mean, that's kind of the common thing that we think about New Year's resolutions. Well, we make them, but it's not going to work, right? Well, if we don't establish systems or habits that lead us towards the goal, they will become just New Year's resolutions that fall by the wayside. But any of us who choose to build a habit, every choice, every action we make is a vote for the person we want to become. Then the goals that we make, we establish systems, habits that bring us up to that level where the goals can be attained. Now, I want to share this simple illustration from my world as a bus driver of goals being reached and systems keeping them from being reached. Everybody who comes on our buses, well, I say almost everybody, their goal is to pay a fare. There is a small percentage of people who come to the bus and their goal is not to pay a fare. But we're not going to talk about those people today. We're going to talk about the people who come and their goal is to pay a fare, right? And so this works. I mean, I see this every single day. It works so well. Most people just come. They know exactly where their bus pass is. They pull it out of their pocket or they already have it right ready. They walk in and tap the fare box and sit down, and I can load like dozens of people in a short time, except for that one person who gets on the bus and all of a sudden they remember, oh yeah, I need to show my bus pass or tap it. And they can't remember where they put it. So this leads them into something that we call the fare dance. And they start like this. You know, and you add some music to it, it becomes this little dance, right? And they can't remember where they put their bus pass. Now, people, it's really simple. If you develop a system or a habit where you put your bus pass in the same place every time, it always goes in your front pocket or it always goes in the same place in your purse or in your backpack. I mean, it's amazing these days how many pockets people have, right? And we see this unfold before us all the time. It's really simple. Develop a habit, a system, and the goal will be easy to attain. And you can apply that across all of life. All of life. There's a law that came into effect a little over 20 years ago, 22 years ago roughly, that was put into effect by the province of Ontario to help transit buses stay on time. And so I want to ask, and you don't have to show your hands, but just I'm curious if anybody in this room has never seen this sign. Well, that's good. You're all paying attention. So this sign is on the back left corner of every bus. And this was brought into a law around 2003. And the goal of this was to help transit buses stay on time by the fact that when we are all out of the lane of traffic, we put our left signal on and we want to merge back in, that the cars coming up behind us are supposed to yield to us, right? Keyword is supposed to yield. Like, we know that often, a year, 20-some years later, that there's some good drivers that do that, and then there's many who still just want to get past us, right? Everybody's goal that is behind the bus wants to be in front of it. And so this law came in, and our job as bus drivers, I'd say, got somewhat better, but there's still challenges with it many years later. Now, let me tell you a story. This happened a few years ago. I was in a bus bay picking up some people, and I loaded the passengers, and then I put my left signal on. There was some cars coming up beside me, so I give them some time to get past me. And then there was one coming up behind a little ways, and I thought, oh, I got time. So I started to pull out in front of them. Well, instead of hitting the brake and slowing down, this driver of this car, like many who just want to get past us, hit the accelerator. And so as I'm pulling into the lane of traffic, he had space to come out and around me. And as he goes out and around me, he's waving his fingers at me and yelling and whatnot. And he's not very happy with me. Get it? Wouldn't you know it then? The light ahead of us at the intersection about 200 meters up the road is red. And so I pull up, guess what? Right beside him. And it's a nice day. His window's down. My side window's open. He starts yelling at me. And he's yelling. He's like, what do you think? You can just pull out whenever you want. And I'm thinking, well, yes. Yes, I can. Now, thankfully, God gave me grace, and I didn't say that. And I want to also say I don't normally engage in conversations with angry motorists. Just sort of ignore them and smile and look ahead. But in this case, for whatever reason, I chose to say something. So I said to him, well, sir, you know, the law says that when I put my left signal on, you're supposed to yield to me. And this guy's response was interesting. He said, I know the rules of the road. I drive for a living. I know the rules of the road. And I thought, well, good luck with that excuse if a police officer pulls you over. And I have seen somebody actually get charged. I've seen it once in 20-some years. But in that moment, I decided I am not going to engage in conversation with this fellow anymore. The light turned green, he went left, I went straight, and we've never seen each other again. But that interaction stuck with me because I began to think about that comment. I drive for a living, I know the rules of the road. And I thought, how many times have I responded that way when I've been confronted with something that's truth? And I've thought, who are you to tell me what to do? And I drilled down a little further. I was like, Lord, what's at the root of that? And it became really clear. The root in there is pride. Pride says, I can do this on my own. I don't need your help. And please, just don't try to tell me what to do. Except they probably wouldn't say please. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if we have pride on this side, what's the opposite? It's humility. It's humility. James 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we want to be in opposition to God, let's hold on to our pride. But if we want to be a candidate for grace, let's humble ourselves and let's grow in the healthy habit of humility. I want to give you three definitions of humility that have really helped my understanding of that grow. The first one is from a fellow named David Brooks, and he says this. He says, humility is not low self-esteem, it's low self-preoccupation. It's not low self-esteem, it's not just putting yourself down, but it's low self-preoccupation. C.S. Lewis has given a similar definition, and he says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Low self-preoccupation. I love these definitions. I grew up in an environment where compliments weren't given easily. And you didn't ever want to just dare say, well, I feel like I'm really good at this, because that would be proud. But in the midst of it, I've come to realize knowing who you are and what God has gifted you to do, and being able to just say, yeah, God has given me this gift and I love functioning in it. That is true humility. And I'd often heard it said when I was younger that people wouldn't want to say, oh, we don't want to compliment them too much because they might get a swollen head. And I just want to say, I'm at the place now where I don't ever want to let that idea restrict me from complimenting someone or encouraging them in their gift. I'll let the swollen head get sorted out with God and His Holy Spirit working in their hearts. So the idea is that each one of us know who God has created us to be, and we function in the fullness of that, not preoccupied with ourselves, but realizing that God has given every single one of us gifts that are meant to bless others. And so this is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ working the way God intended. And the body needs every single one of us here to know who we are and who God has created us to be. Not low self-esteem, but low self-preoccupation. The third definition, a friend of mine named Frank, he says to me a number of years ago, he says, Paul, I've been thinking about humility and I got this definition. What do you think of it? He says, humility is the ability to make changes when confronted with the truth. And I was like, oh, Frank, that is really good. That's like proverb worthy. That is wisdom. If you read the book of Proverbs, you will see that theme over and over and over again. Excuse me. Here's some verses that I didn't say from my daily routine. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. A couple verses later, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 10:17. People who accept discipline are on the path to life. But those who ignore correction will go astray. If we are going to walk in wisdom, we need to embrace this healthy habit of humility that says, God, I'm willing to receive the correction that you want to bring me. Quick story. As I said, I've been speaking about some of this material in this book for a while. So about 6 or 7 years ago, Angie and I were off on a Sunday morning. I was planning to give a bit of the similar message of what I'm sharing here today about the healthy habit of humility. and we're driving, we're heading from Kitchener, where we live, out to Drayton, so it's a drive through the country. I grew up on the farm. I love looking at the farms and the countryside and the crops and all this stuff, and we're driving, you know, along roads I've never been, and so I'm looking all around, and I'm like, oh, what was that building over there? And so just as I'm doing that, there's a car coming towards us, and Angie says, you might want to keep your eyes on the road. Now, let me just say, it's not the first time I've received driving advice from my spouse. And I always ask, how many of you love receiving driving advice from anyone sitting in the passenger seat, let alone your spouse, right? Usually there's very few hands that go up. Something rises up in me in that moment that wants to say something similar to Angie that guy said to me at the traffic light, I drive for a living, because I really do. And I think it has come out of my mouth more than once. And then I usually say, I wonder how I drive all day without you. And then Angie will say, I wonder too. But in that moment, by the grace of God, I was reminded of Proverbs 15, verse 1. And if you don't know this verse, you should memorize it. And let it be one of these rules that you live by in life. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up controversy. So by the grace of God in that moment, you know, there's quick few thoughts going through my head, and I just said, you're right, Angie, I should keep my eyes on the road. And the car was peaceful, and we kept on driving. But many times, God wants to bring a message of correction into your life and into mine. And it may not always come from a messenger that we want to receive it from. You know, as I was thinking about it in this house, it's probably easy to say that Pastor Ken is the most respected person here because of the life that he's lived and the way he's served faithfully. And so if God chose Pastor Ken to speak a word of correction to us, and he probably has through the sermons that we've heard, through the teachings on the radio, maybe just through personal interactions. We could, and Pastor Ken may speak something that we feel like is a word of correction. And afterwards, we're like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that word. Thank you for sending Pastor Ken to speak it to me. And that's good. But let me tell you that God is not always going to send someone that you respect as much as Pastor Ken. Sometimes it's going to be a coworker that you find extremely annoying. Sometimes it could be one of your kids who's very young and should only be listening to you, but they say something and you're just like, oh. I could give you lots of examples of who it could be. One more story about how it happened for me one time. 10 years ago, we were at a meeting here in Kitchener. There was a guest speaker here from out of town, a guy I'd never heard of, never met, and he stands up and starts preaching. And it was just, you know, we all have sort of styles and preachers that we kind of engage with and that we like. But this was not one of those for me, right? And I'm not going to tell you what the style was because I don't want to be passing judgment over styles of preaching. But it was something I wasn't connecting with. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, oh, like really, Lord? You know, kind of that kind of attitude. And in that moment, I felt this rebuke in my spirit from the Holy Spirit. And he said this. He said, he's my guy. Listen to him. And I was like, okay, I need to change my attitude. And in the next few minutes, he was wandering around in the aisles as he's preaching. And he stops right beside me and gives me a short but hard prophetic word. And it was good. It was something I needed to hear. It was so hard that afterwards, the leaders of the meeting said, we're kind of sorry about how that happened. I said, it's okay. It's okay. But in those moments, can we have the healthy habit of humility, the ability to make changes when confronted with the truth, no matter how the truth comes to us, so that we can receive the word that God wants to give us? People, this revolutionizes our life. And I'm spending all this time on humility today and not getting to the other habits because as I wrote the book and I got to the end, I'm like, which is the kind of the key habit And I was like, well, they're all kind of important. But I really feel like if you don't get this habit, you're not going to get the rest. Being teachable is so key. Sometimes we're going to hear stuff that we can totally dismiss, and other times there may be even 1 or 2% of the message that is heard that we need to hear. I'm going to share this one other story from work. So in my work at Grand River Transit, if you are called in for a meeting, it's not usually because they want to congratulate you for doing a good job. And so, backtrack a few years, Angie and I had started hosting dinners at a local restaurant, and we invited people mostly from transit to come, and I started speaking about healthy habits. And I was speaking about humility and honesty and honor and the things that are written in the book, and the people were connecting with it. And it was good, and it was really what led to me realizing this material is practical and effective, and it needs to be written. And so in the midst of that, one day at work, after I had several of these meetings where we have been speaking about this to my coworkers, I get called in for a meeting. And I was like, oh, all right, got to remember what I've been preaching about because I want to practice what I preach. And we are all preaching in some way with our lives, whether you're up here on a Sunday morning or not, right? And so we all want to be consistent and live lives with integrity in every situation. And so we get called into the meeting, and there was a complaint from a driver of a car about just an interaction at an intersection, and I won't get into the details, but it was really, really minor. And my first response internally was just like, really? We're having a meeting over this? But then I remembered, oh yeah, this healthy habit of humility. Can I hear, even if there's just a little grain of truth in there that I need to hear? And can I be gracious and receive it? And so thankfully, the Lord gave me that grace. And I was able to be kind and to bless the guy who was sharing it with me. But this stuff affects us in every part of life, every day when we're living. And it really does make a difference. Really does make a difference. I want to conclude with some of my verses that I love from Proverbs that go with this theme and just speak them over you. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 30 to 33 says this: light in the messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart. Good news brings health to the bones. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. But those who despise discipline disregard themselves. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction, we're walking in wisdom, wanting to grow in that. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. And humility comes before honor. May you all be blessed in the days ahead with the grace to build the healthy habit of humility in your heart so that it revolutionizes your relationships and your actions and your words each and every day. May God bless you all. Amen.